Welcome to Send Me On My Way. I'm your host, Audrey Dean Kelly. And on this podcast, we're going to talk about everything from music to pop culture to reality TV to pretty much whatever I want. So let's get into it. Welcome to the second episode of Send Me On My Way. That was really exhilarating and scary and so many feels to have put that story out there. And you know what? But I'm proud of myself because I want to talk about part of the reason why I named this podcast Send Me On My Way, which obviously you hear the intro music. It is a song that I wrote. But one of the lines of this song says, "Into the darkness, you will find the light." And that's a big reason why I named it that, because that's what I'm going to be doing here. We're going to be talking about. You guys want to tark? Anyways, we will be talking about some tough subjects. And look, that story is hard to hear, I'm sure. I'm sure there are so many more that are so much worse. I know there are. And I had to warn my mom, but the reality is, guys, that story is not the worst story that I've experienced. So let's get into the next part of our music series, talking about the music industry, which is the transactional producer series. Let's just paint you the picture. I am 20 years old. No, I'm 21. I'm 21 at this point. Living in Los Angeles, I am a senior in college, and I had begun working with my cousin as a songwriter, and she was the one who had the connection. She had the better voice of the two of us, and I was just more of the songwriter, and I would do some backing vocals. And she was connected with a couple of big producers, and we ended up getting sent out on a couple of different sessions where, you know, in some of them we would go in and the producer would have just a beat, you know, and we would write to that beat on the spot, or we would come with something that we had before. And that really was where I got my start in songwriting, which was, you'll quickly learn why I've shifted away from writing for other people. But anyways, we were being sent around, and we got sent to this one producer's place that it was a very different vibe than any of the other producer experiences that we had so far. And this was a producer that had a studio in the Hollywood Hills, and he was an ex-NFL star, and he had worked with some really big artists, and he was very well connected in the industry. You know, I'm talking, this was like the beginning of when the Kardashians were becoming famous. So like back then, it really, like his connection with Khloe Kardashian, they weren't the level that they are now. This was like 2008 anyways, but he was working with people like Khloe Kardashian. I met Aaron Carter in his studio. Actually, Aaron Carter's dog pooped on my phone and he made me clean it up myself. So, I mean, rest in peace, but still a little salty about that. No disrespect. I might have to edit that out. Oh, man. But, this producer also, and part of why the P. Diddy thing that I said has kind of sparked me to want to talk about these things in this podcast is this producer was very good friends with P. Diddy. and that camp. And he introduced me to a couple of other producers that were also connected to P. Diddy. So know that that's very adjacent to this. I'm not going to reveal his identity. And look, I mean, I was a willing participant in all of this. So yeah, I'm not getting on here. I'm getting on here just to paint you a picture of what happens a lot to aspiring female songwriters, artists, and what happened to me. So we go to this guy's place. Immediately, he kind of fixates on me between me and my cousin. And we were like a duo together. And I think this thing that happened kind of ended. It was the last time she and I wrote together, which is really sad, but it was. And basically what happened is we were writing. It was more of a party. I was drinking. I was smoking. There were a bunch of songwriters. I will be honest with you. I met some of the most talented vocalists, songwriters that I have met in this setting. So, of course, it was super exciting. He called me his baby breezy. And I felt like I was getting the attention. And just to back up to like my songwriting partnership with my cousin, because she was so much more talented of a vocalist, I definitely had a complex of like feeling like I was in the background, because like quite literally the songs that we were releasing, we were writing together, and then it was being produced by her producer. And so I kind of went into this with feeling like the lesser of the two in the songwriting situation. And he then really liked me of the two of us. And so for me, that was like, oh, well, now I'm going to be the one whose vocals are on this, and I'm going to be the one. And like, yeah, I think that was part of what played into it. But I mean, he had game and I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And so, you know, he took me out. He was introducing me to a bunch of celebrities. He's friends with a lot of celebrities, a lot. And so, and I know what you guys are going to think, Audrey, you're related to celebrities. That shouldn't be that exciting. And on the one hand, no, you're right. I am a little bit desensitized to it. But there is a difference between meeting someone because you are someone's niece and then getting introduced to someone because you were an artist that this producer is working with. But yeah, this was my experience. So yeah, I started hooking up with this guy and he started inviting me on like over for sessions without my cousin. A hopeful, desperate, I guess, you know, artist who wanted to make it. That's what happens in Hollywood. And I, you know, that's at the core of all of this, of these situations where you put yourself in it. And I think, like, look, in that situation, I total willing participant. And but I know that there are other situations where the lines are so blurred and you're really drunk and you consent, but you question that, you know, there's just, I feel like there's a lot of that, but there's at the core of this, it's a power dynamic that is taken advantage of. And at least back then, in Los Angeles, in my experience, most male producers were in a relationship with their artist, it was so expected, ingrained. Like I knew this one artist who she was dating her producer. And then before that, she was still having to deal with like his ex-girlfriend because he had produced that girl before. And that was the ex-girlfriend. And like now she's the new artist. And so that's what happened to me and this guy. I was his little darling for a little bit. And funnily enough, I think part of why we stopped working together was because of I guess I'm gonna have to bleep that, but like I really wish I didn't have to because it's so good. I might leave it in. But basically, this very famous train wreck, one of the most famous train wrecks of 2008, worked with him at the time. He was known as a producer who like worked with people like that person or actresses who wanted to get into music. And so she was that person. So anyways, she had gotten into a fight in a club with a girl named Audrey. And at the time, I actually was friends with her friend, Allie, who I had also met through songwriting. I met her. She was another artist. And I did a co-write with her, another songwriting session. So she knew me. And then this, we'll call her the train wreck, was working with the producer. And so he calls me one day and he's like, the train wreck, I mentioned you because your friend Allie's over here and she said she knows you. And I was going to invite you over to write, you know, to write with us. But the train wreck is saying that you like fought her in a club, which like at that point, I had literally never met her in my life. I had never met her. I knew her through my friend Allie. And meanwhile, on the side, my friend Allie's messaging me and she's like, she's confused. She thinks it's you. And I'm like, there's plenty of blonde Audreys who are musicians. It was not me. So here I am. It's like we had been hooking up. I'd been over there a good amount for the course of maybe, I don't know how long, maybe a couple of weeks. And then it's like that happens and it's like radio silence. And then I hear from him like maybe a week later and he invites me over and there's this new girl there. And she's the new breezy and she's the new darling. And I am being brought in to work with her as a songwriter because she's going to be the vocalist. And again, I'll admit, like I'm an artist who's like a growth mindset kind of artist. Like the reason why my vocals are what they are today is because I'm a good songwriter at the core of it. And I had to become a better vocalist and push myself and like, so on the one hand, yeah, she was a better singer. My cousin was a better singer. And it just crushed me to like be brought in, not to like then have the same situation where I'm just writing for another girl. Because let's be honest, guys, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I've always wanted to be a star. Like, how could I not? How could I not want that with the currency that is like the highest value in my family? And that is not to blame my aunt and uncle and my family structure. Like it's not their fault. And I'm so proud of them and they are my heroes and they are why I chase my dreams and I do what I do. But when that happens in a family, it shifts the dynamic of power in a way that I found that I question why I've felt my whole life I have to make it. I have to be an artist. I have to be famous. And I realize it's because as soon as my aunt became famous, that's what we all valued. She saved us. She saved our family. And like, then that was placed onto us. So like, and I'm going to have a whole nother episode where we get into that. Whole nother episode. And I'm going to pause this because my little Mimi Bootin baby is waking up. So I'm going to have to come back to this shortly. I tracked there for a second. So we're going to go back to the point, which is the producer brings me there. He's parading his new muse in front of me, wanting me to write for her and also hooking up with her in front of me. Like as if nothing had just happened with us. And it was, in hindsight, I'm just thinking about like the kind of person and the kind, like he liked that, the showing off of his new girl. And he liked that I was, and the craziest part is, he kept hooking up with me too. And he tried, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But I just, like, I look back and I'm just disappointed in myself for not knowing better. And for, like, continuing that for as long as I did and like being the kind of artist, like even for years after that, like I would like support his shit and I would like follow him and be like, yeah, you go. And was like, oh yeah, I worked with this big name producer. And it's just, it's really hard to look back at that person and that girl and think about the boundaries that I brought down in hopes of making it in this industry. But as far as the producer, singer dynamic, you know, you see so many different facets of this in different areas of the music industry. I've seen, you know, the Nashville version where it's the, you know, 17-year-old girl who works with the producer and then they get married when they're like 19 and he was like 15 years older than her. And it's okay because we got married and we're like songwriting partners and whatever. And like, on the one hand, sure. There's nothing, look, people fall in love and not every situation is bad, but there are a lot that are bad. And clearly with what's happening, with what's coming out with the Diddy camp, obviously, like there's so much, and like talk about like hiding in plain sight, guys, like within the rap industry, within even live music, like what I talked about with the concert experience, like talk about the ultimate pick me girl experience where I remember back then it was like, you like, it was exciting if you got chosen to be taken backstage. Like you were the chosen one. You were the one that the artist, you were the hottest girl then, you know? And in the producer dynamic, I mean, there are, so tale as old as time, tale as old as the music industry, to be honest with you. And it's just, it's been so incessant. And I think that there is a lot of this, like girls getting eaten up and spit out and, you know, their ideas taken, them never getting credit for songs that they worked on. I've had different versions of this. And like, here's the other part of it is like, there's like a damned if you do and damned if you don't situation, because I have also had producers work with me I come over, I record my song, I don't hook up with them, and that song never sees the light of day, and they never work on that, because that's because I didn't take the bait for what was expected of us artists back then. Now I'm really curious because I guess we are going to get into my most toxic producer relationship, which was a full-on relationship when I first moved to Brooklyn, to New York. I moved to Greenpoint and I met this producer who had a pretty sick music studio in his home in this massive loft in Greenpoint. And I met him pretty early on when I moved into Brooklyn. And the first day that I met him, my roommate at the time, I guess she knew him through somebody, Celia, she introduced us. And she was like, oh, Audrey's a really good vocalist. And he was like, actually, I need a vocalist like today. Do you want to come over and do vocals? And I was like, it's like a Saturday. I was like, sure, let's, whatever. Like, I just moved to New York City and I moved here to do music. So, of course, producer, why not? So I go over there and this guy is, let's see, I was 25 at the time. I think he was like 40 something. He was a lot older than me. And I start doing vocals for some jingle for him that he's like submitting. That's like the kind of music that he's doing is for like commercials and like, you know, there are people in this industry who do a lot of that work where they'll get like spec ideas sent to them and then they have to like submit different ideas for advertising. So like, that's what he did. So I record vocals for him. We're recording for, I feel like in hindsight, I'm thinking it's like hours. And he ends up offering me a scotch and one thing leads to another and I end up staying over there and we hook up and I end up dating this guy for like an entire year. And here's the worst part. He doesn't commit to me. He refuses to call me his girlfriend. He brings me out to meet his friends sometimes. But mostly I am schlepping over to him, sleeping at his place, going back to my apartment. Granted, it was not far. We were very close to each other. But let me tell you, I was paying for our dinners a lot of the nights and bringing him, like I worked at this like organic juice company at the time. I remember I'd like bring him juices and he would let me work on his stuff. He would like let me do his vocal stuff and never once in the course of that year, never once would he spend 5 fucking minutes to record one of my songs. And when I tried to share my songs, and it's funny because in the course of this, I realized I was like, this guy's not going to help me. I'm going to go start my band. So I started, with my band, shout out Lone Vice. And this was like the end of the relationship. And like, I was like playing live shows and I remember like he came to a live show and he kind of like shit on my performance and was just such a manipulative douchebag prick who just had me in such a brainwashed fog of like thinking that I was in love with him, which by the way, guess why he broke up with me? After a year of dating and him not making me his girlfriend and me paying for most dinners, most nights. I tell him I love him and he breaks up with me the next day. Breaks my heart. I then end up brokenheartedly revenge hooking up with my bassist and my band. My band then implodes because it was a rebound and it was stupid. And don't ever do that. Don't ever screw up. If you do have a good band dynamic, don't hook up with your bandmates. Don't. I'll do a whole other story, a whole other episode on that story. But like, do yourself a favor, baby girls, baby boys, all y'all. Don't hook up with your bandmates. So yeah, I implode my band in the process of my breakup because I'm heartbroken that my old man producer that I have loved, supported, schlepped over to and been in a real ass relationship, whether or not he wanted to acknowledge it. And he was like, oh, I'm just doing you a favor. And like in hindsight, thank you. Yes, you did. Thank you. I am so glad that we didn't end up together. I am so glad for that. But yeah, never did I ever get paid for any of that time, any of those vocals. He never produced my stuff. He degraded me and my music. He talked down to me. He, I mean, I guess we both, we're not going to get into that. Venmo me for all the dinners and all the nonsense. And actually, I'm going to call you out on this too, because that guy then went and got a girlfriend who was 10 years older than me, made her his girlfriend right away. Like, I'm talking 2 weeks later, after stringing me along for an entire year. He then keeps hooking up with me secretly, messing with my head, telling me he's got this girlfriend, hooking up with me, meeting me at this, like, bar that had, like, raspberry wings, and, like, he used to call me his little wing. And for, like, 6 months after we break up, and he has this new French girlfriend who I'm so like angry and jealous of, and like part of me, like, I haven't ever been that girl that's been like the other woman, but in this I was like, well, he was mine first, so like, and like, that's on him. But I kept hooking up with this guy, and let me tell you when it stopped. This piece of shit, this is just, these are the toxic men in this industry. This piece of shit tells me, after hooking up with me one time, he's like, so I have something to tell you. My girlfriend is pregnant. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, all right, done. No, I like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I was livid. I was, and you know, it's funny because for years I blocked him on every platform. I had to just literally, I blocked his phone number. I blocked all of them. I was like, I'm done. I have to like cut it and go. And like, but anyways, I feel like maybe that's enough for the episode today. So thank you for listening to episode 2 of Send Me On My Way. We're into the darkness. You will find the light. Yeah, I'm not sure what the cadence is going to be on this quite yet. We'll see what I can fit in. But guys, I got a lot of stories. We have barely scratched the surface, let me tell you. So subscribe, please. And thank you for listening. Love ya.